Hello, it's January 2011, and this is the third.
Hooray! Oh, hang on.
No, we've done another one already.
Big Finish Podcast.
Now!
Yay! Hey! I love
well
them.
Done, well done. Could I just say that in this week, in 1981, Trevor Chappell of Australia infamously became the last cricketer to bowl underarm. I don't know what these facts are until I read them out, and that is underwhelming.
Wow.
That
I
is rubbish.
Can't believe that's the best that thing could offer.
Equity Diary 2011. I feel like throwing it away, except it's full of valuable information, so I'll keep hold of it. Let me see what next week's information is. Now, that actually is incredible.
Oh,
but anyway,
then.
I'm not going to tell you, because we'll do it in the February podcast.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, if you don't want your diary, can I give it to my girlfriend, because she hasn't got one?
No, no.
Okay. Plus, also, I said that I'd mention her in the podcast because she keeps failing to listen to them and she's feeling guilty. So
it's
I'm trying
to, Nat.
Yes, I'm trying to make Nat feel even more guilty.
Yes, so Nat, we're mentioning you. Nat. That sounds weird when you say it.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, I'll never do that again.
Could you use my special nickname I've got? No, that's not
and,
do
whoa,
that.
No, steady. Steady. We're having no girlfriend special nicknames here. I'm certainly not going to tell you my wife's special nickname.
Is it Steph?
That's just her name.
Right.
Yeah. So
I read your latest script. I was worried how imaginative you were.
The cliffhanger in the last podcast was that we are going to have a competition, a new competition. So, what prizes are on offer this time, Paul?
Well, we have decided to give away the second Doctor box set. David, would you like to say a few words about the second Doctor
box set? Prison in space.
Okay.
It's very sexist.
It's not actually.
Isn't it?
Oh, no, we did turn quite a bit of that down.
Did you?
Yeah, we were very sensitive to.
And also, it's got the Daleks. The Daleks.
Yeah. Daleks, the Destroyers.
Destroyers, yes.
Who's in that?
Jean Marsh!
Oh, goodness, how could I have forgotten?
I love Jean Marsh.
And the Daleks.
The Daleks.
And that is the pilot episode script that Terry Nation wrote for a potential international sales series about the Daleks.
Featuring, as Alex Mallinson referred to her on an email, lovely, lovely Jean Lovely Marsh. Oh.
She is lovely. And she's brilliant in it. I just finished listening to it today in the car.
Oh, he's listened to that?
It's got Daleks. I'm in it. Of course I listen to it.
We're planning another companion chronicle for Jean Marsh at the minute, and it's very exciting.
So, yes, we're also giving away Perry and the Piscon Paradox, which we've talked about before.
In the last podcast.
We're going to give away some signed scripts for the first series of Jago and Lightfoot.
Nice.
Jago and Lightfoot.
David's lovely favourite project in the whole universe.
Lovely,
ever.
Lovely Jago and lovely
giving away
Lightfoot.
Signed scripts for season 49.
The journey never ends.
And also we're giving away Prisoner of the Sun, which neatly brings us to
The Prisoner of the Sun.
This is an emergency.
What's happening?
The prisoner's being attacked by his assistant.
What? How?
Hopefully, we'll find that out. There. Step away from him.
You're too late. The doctor's dead anyway.
Grab her.
No!
Contact the ministry and ask them what they want us to do with her.
Don't you want to know why I did it?
I honestly couldn't care less. It's the ministry's job to find out. Are you really dead, Doctor?
Shouldn't we set the question?
I don't know. I haven't actually made one up yet. So
you think
basis
of one while I talk about the Prisoner of the Sun.
Have
I
got time to make a cup of tea?
Yes, please.
Would you like one, Nick?
I'm a bit parched.
Right, OK. You talk up Prisoner of the Sun.
Well, the Prisoner of the Sun,
which actually has a special musical guest.
It does, yes. Anthony Costa. What band was he in?
He was in Blue.
He was in Blue.
Tell
was
you
he?
What, yeah. Nick, why don't you sing one of them best loved hits? How about All Rise?
Yes, All Rise, All Rise.
That's disturbingly that's, not bad.
I know, you see.
How about
that without copyright issues?
Yes, because that wasn't the actual tune.
I don't know, my cup's up there, David.
But my favourite Blue lyric was always their One Love for the Mother's Pride. That was the one I liked.
My favourite Blue lyric is
Well, that's a bit harsh.
I think I misunderstood what you meant by blue lyric there. Anyway, of course I will have bleeped that out.
So how maybe a bit of flyby? Do you want to do a bit of flyby as well?
I don't know that one.
You make me wanna?
Do I?
Yes, that's not even one of their songs.
Well, anyway, we have Duncan James.
What's the sound? This is the sound of Jago and Lightfoot Series 4, Episode 1.
The script. Being, yeah. That's just
are you just
going to
put
paper,
that on CD? Series 4, possibly the most disappointing of the Jago and Lightfoots, but it just sounds like some paper being rustled into a microphone. Right,
so,
The Prisoner of the Sun
is the latest Eighth Doctor story, which, as we mentioned, features Anthony Costa, formerly of Blue, but now pursuing an acting career on fine form, and also Jeannie Spark, who was in Wallander and has been in loads of things, and we also had her in The Angel's Scutari a while back. And it also features Sheridan Smith. So you probably think you know what's going to happen in this story. But you don't. Anyway, Prisoner of the Sun will be out in January and may already be out now. In fact, if it's not out now and the tail end of January, then something's gone severely wrong.
You mentioned Beth Chalmers?
Oh, Beth Chalmers is in it as well, yes, who also will be playing, not in this story, Rain, the Seventh Doctor companion. But Beth Chalmers is one of those actresses, pretty much like the actor John Banks, has it written into their contract that they've got to be in every big Finnish production? I'm exaggerating wildly, of course. But anyway, that's The Prisoner of the Sun. And now I think, I feel it in my water, that Paul Sprague has come up with a question for the competition for the aforementioned prizes.
I can't think of anything.
Oh, that's pathetic. I saw you typing away there.
No, I started and then I thought better of it. I was going to say name the other members of Blue.
Oh, well, listen, I mentioned that Duncan James was in a previous Big Finish production. So,
fair point.
Tell us what that previous Big Finish production was and send your answers to podcast@bigfinish.com and also include your postal address so that should you win, we can post the prizes to you. And when I say we, I mean Paul Sprague.
Hooray. Do you know, the last batch I sent out just on the last day I was in just before Christmas in the hope that there was an outside chance they'd arrive with our winner. I don't know. I've not heard from our winner from last time. It was Claire, wasn't it, who won last time?
The moment I met you, I swear.
What?
That's a little Gilbert O'Sullivan quotation. Just brought my own tumbleweed along there. Okay, now that was the last monthly release to deal with, was it, for January?
Yes, it's surprisingly quiet, isn't it, this month? It's because we got so over-enthusiastic in the last few months before Christmas.
And the kettle boiled. I don't see my cup of tea here.
I'm writing an email.
Is it to Nick again?
That's not going to help me with my thirst, is it? We have some more letters from listeners, I believe.
Yes, would you like to answer some listener questions?
Oh, I'll do my best. Are these all for me, or can
David,
you know?
I'm sure that we can all chip in if any of us know the answer.
Okay, all right, off you go.
Chris Symes says, just wondering if you could do a download subscription package for the Judge Dredd audio so I can purchase them all at once at a slightly cheaper price.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
I think it's because they're not all downloadable still. I think there's still a few gaps. But we've been talking about this today, haven't we, about audio gaps. In fact, there's a couple of things we could mention at this point, aren't there? Because we came to a decision earlier with Her Final Flight,
yes,
with it not being available as a download yet. There are some people who've taken out a download subscription and should have had it, but haven't because it's not available as a download.
That's right. So what year was that for, do you know, off the top of your head?
It was way before my time.
Okay, a long time ago.
About 6 years ago, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Six, seven.
So, the solution is, Paul?
Well, you said they could have the CD, Nick.
Yes.
Are you willing to stand by that?
I am going to stand by it.
Okay. Can you move away from it again, then?
I mean, we're only doing it for that one because the download rights haven't been cleared.
although hopefully we can make some progress on this at some point during the year with clearing bits and pieces.
It's
there's
all
still
quite
a few
difficult
outstanding things. Is it difficult, difficult, lemon, difficult?
It is certainly difficult, difficult, lemon, difficult. You're reminding me of my wife there, you see. She says that all the time now.
Oh, you keep saying this, Nick, yet I just don't see it.
Thankfully, neither do I, except in my deepest nightmares. Okay, next one.
Greetings.
I've made a note of that Judge Dredd thing.
Right, okay. Nathan Gervais says, greetings from just outside New Orleans, Louisiana.
Hello!
Huge Who fan and a huge Big Finish fan as well.
Hooray!
Anyway, with the very exciting Tom Baker news that you guys keep teasing out, I'm wondering if the Fourth Doctor's audio adventures will sit in with the main line, or do you think it will be its own separate line? I ask because with the Eighth Doctor re-entering the line, it would seem like Five Doctors' worth of stories would make it all something of a crowd. Just asking.
What do you think, Nick?
I think they'll be their own separate series.
And while I'm doing that, care to tease us a little bit more? How many stories, which writers besides Nick Briggs, and which companions?
Can't really say anything yet. Don't want to tempt fate. But things are moving on apace.
Can we say what we're doing next week?
Shall we?
Go then.
We're going to go and visit Tom Baker.
At his house.
Yes. He asked us, he sent us the space-time coordinates.
So he's...
That's actually what he said. So yes, we're going to have a chat with Tom. So in the next podcast, we'll probably tell you it's all off. Appalling row with him and he chucks us out.
He's very enthusiastic, isn't he?
He seems very enthusiastic, which is lovely. Good. So there you are. That's a further tease. It's very exciting times ahead. Yeah.
You could record that visit.
Yes.
That could be the next podcast.
Yeah. We'll take a recorder along. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got everything crossed. You know, there are no guarantees here yet. It could all vanish in a puff of smoke, but let's hope not. Okay.
Jackson Rees says, bit of a long question here, so brace yourself.
Okay. That actually was quite a loud noise I made.
Are you adequately braced
yes.
now?
Yes.
Okay. After recently being gobsmacked by the utter brilliance of A Death in the Family, my mind wandered onto the character of Ace. Sophie Aldred gave a fantastic performance that I can't praise enough. The character Ace has gone through a long history of being written out by various writers. She's been killed in the comics, killed and replaced by a parallel version in the BBC novels, and gone off on a time-travelling motorcycle in the Virgin New Adventure novels. That's a big set of spoilers there for people who've never read or seen any of those. Never mind. Not only that, but as far as I'm aware, she'll be leaving in the new season of Lost Stories as well. Now, my question is that one day, whether out of Big Finish's Doctor Who licence not being renewed, Sophie Aldred deciding to stop, or just out of general creative decisions, would you want to produce a final Ace leaving story?
I read this email and I have no answer to it. I mean, I don't want Ace to leave. We want to carry on working with Sophie forever. We adore her. And if we did do something, she lives quite close to me, and I'd be frightened of going out.
I have to say one thing that I'm very careful about doing in the Lost Stories, because they take place before Hex comes into the Big Finish range. We're making sure that it does not contradict what we've done in Big Finish, because I think that would be ridiculous. So it will be a very smooth transition between that season 27 and what we've done.
Yes, and we've never been known to do anything ridiculous, have we?
No.
I'm sure you must have done something ridiculous.
Oh, well, that reminds me, actually, that Alan Barnes...
The tea, I'm sorry.
Yeah, get on with the tea.
Plus, also, a couple of years ago, someone employed me.
That was a wise decision. You're my favourite.
Thanks.
Alan Barnes had mentioned something to me ages ago. And he brought this thing to the meeting yesterday, which was from The Guardian... the 3rd of the 3rd, 2010. And it's hilarious. There's a section in The Guardian called Notes and Queries. I'm just talking about doing ridiculous things, all right? And people write in with questions, and then other readers write in with their long explanations. They're difficult questions. And one of them was, why is Doctor Who always a Time Lord and not a lady? And the other questions were journeys to the centre of the earth, the meaning of a hiding to nothing. And so there were three answers to... So I'm just trying to read. There are three answers to the question, why is Doctor Who always regenerated as a Time Lord, not a Time Lady? And one of them, the middle one, says... Apparently, the only way a Time Lord can regenerate as a member of the opposite sex is to commit suicide. This has happened at least once, to my knowledge, in a Doctor Who Unbound audiobook called Exile, where he commits suicide and becomes Arabella Weir in order to hide from pursuers. And that was Guy Thomas from Canterbury wrote that in. So there you are. That ridiculous story I wrote, Exile, which is ridiculous and offensive. Just thoroughly bitter and twisted. I feel like I wrote it in my teenage years, but I can't actually claim it was that long ago. It just
you
feels
sell
that long
it,
ago.
Nick.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Go out and buy it now. But there you are. That's a ridiculous thing. Anyway, moving on. I feel quite embarrassed now. You're both looking at me like I should have shut up about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. here's a question that.
How many sugars did you put in this?
Two.
Did you stir it at all? No, the sugar's actually at the bottom.
Do you want another question,
help
or do you just want
of here?
I have reduced to stirring it with my pen.
They lock me in. I can't escape.
Do not let David Richardson out until he's finished
his life. Yes, carry on.
I've got a message here from Tony Presley, who says, "Loving the podcast, and every time I hear Mr. Briggs's voice, it brings back a lovely memory of my only two Doctor Who conventions." Coventry, DWAS, mid-90s, where he sold where he sold me a signed fanzine when he chaired a charity auction.
Goodness me.
He also says, in a recent podcast, he mentioned that he popped into a library where the silent rule seems to have been disposed of. Mm. You don't have to tell me. Our brand new gazillion-pound library has a Nintendo Wii.
Well, I don't think there should be any Wii in a library, do you?
No, I don't think so. No. He continues, his recent adventure with his first taste of a mince pie reminded me of a doctor I know, no, not that one, who, since coming to England many years ago from India, had never eaten a mince pie because he didn't eat meat.
The joke there is, of course, there's no meat in a mince pie. Although there apparently used to be, didn't there?
Don't ask me, I've no idea. I wasn't alive then.
But you are possessed of the soul of some old Quaker, I feel.
Possessed of the face of an old
Quaker. That's just unnecessarily horrible. Your face, I mean.
Yes, all right, thank you. Right, I'm going to give you a really tricky question.
Oh, no. How many beans make five?
Although it's prefaced, well, obviously the answer to that is some beans and that one. Right, there's a message here from Kyle Bargout. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure he'll write in and complain. He says, I was wondering, do you find working on the audio CDs personally impacts on your ability to enjoy them fully? I know you probably get a thrill reading the finished scripts and listening to the finished product, but surely going through all the hassle to make the finished product, you get fed up and long for a break from it once it's out.
No. I absolutely love hearing the final thing.
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously not the ones you've done.
as we've
discovered. I'm apparently not listening to any of those. No, I agree with you, David. I mean, it's... I'm endlessly fascinated with my own work anyway. And I can't tell you how many times I've listened to Lucy Miller and To the Death. I mean, obviously, I have to listen to it because I have to keep checking all the sound design and the music and the levels and give notes and stuff. But, yeah, it's one of the most thrilling things to have written something and then direct it and then in some way worked on the post-production as well. I mean, in the old days when I used to do the whole thing, it's just... really thrilling. It's a different kind of enjoyment. I suppose, you know, in a very sort of egotistical way, I've sometimes thought, oh, wouldn't it be good if I could just step back from this and enjoy it as if I'd never had anything to do with it? As if enjoying it as something that you've created entirely yourself isn't enough, which, of course, it is more than enough.
I mean, to some extent you can, because, you know, for example, I can listen to your work that I've not been involved in, and to some extent... feasibly you could listen to the CDs I work on if you wanted to enjoy things afraid. I just raised that as a possibility.
Look, I've got Jago and Lightfoot here. Oh, please, Kitty, mum's the word. Here he is. Yes. And I'm going to...
And the cellophane will still be on it by next Friday.
The cellophane is off. Listen, that's the CDs coming out of the box. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to listen to that.
He does also say, do you find a lengthy break from working on a play rekindles your enjoyment when you go back to it?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I keep interrupting
you.
No,
well, I'm pleased that someone else is speaking. there have been enough complaints on the forum going on about the extras being the Nick Briggs show. Someone said that after they, when they listen to programmes on Radio 7 and then I make some comments afterwards, he said, me and my dad look at each other in unison and say, what an idiot. And then, bless them, someone went on there and said, I can't believe you and your dad call each other idiots.
Nice.
Okay. Well, you know, time's running out, really. Is there anything, any other gold you want to throw in my direction as if I were a Cyberman and would choke on it?
Well, let's see. There's one here from James Newbury saying, your podcast is hilarious, your audios are brilliant, and you, Nicholas Briggs, you are the most comic in the podcast.
Thanks.
It also says that they'd like more Graham Garden, Nikki Wardley, Carol Ann Ford, Sheridan Smith, Alex McGann, and Paul McGann.
There's more of that coming up in Lucy Miller and To the Death.
Although Alex McGann doesn't exist, of course, does he?
No.
Because it's Jake McGann.
Yeah. He plays Alex Campbell.
Sorry.
Well,
I didn't notice that. I was just caught up in the reality of it. So that is February and March. That's Lucy Miller and To the Death. The last two stories in the Doctor and Lucy standalone series.
Written and directed by Nick Briggs, so I ain't going to be listening to them.
You've already heard a bit of
them. Oh, I know, I've heard them, and they're brilliant. Get lost.
But don't worry, if you want to hear they're not brilliant, just read Doctor Who magazine when they're out. And Matt Michael will give them a rubbish review. You heard it here first.
There's one more letter. Do you want it?
Hmm.
Okay. I'm enjoying the anarchy that is your December podcast, says Michael Lee. I'm especially intrigued by the trailer for Gallifrey Series 4, particularly by what seem to be appearances by Susan Campbell, Joe Grant, the Doctor and the Master. How obvious is that last inclusion in a Gallifrey series? I'm surprised it didn't happen long ago.
Well, things may not be as you expect.
Exactly as they seem.
He says, I have a suggestion for you. Have you ever considered doing a podcast with the great David Warner? He's such a stalwart of Big Finish as well as the small screen and large that I'm sure he'd have some fascinating insights to share with the listeners.
I did do an interview with David ages and ages ago when he came in to do Circular Time, which was ages ago, I guess. And he was hilarious because he just made a big thing about how he hated being interviewed and didn't have anything to say, which just made me laugh all the time. He was very good. He's adorable.
We did a group interview for one of the season 3 lost stories that David is in.
Yes.
And he was brilliant, actually. He was asking questions of the other actors and everything. So, I mean, I think he'd be great on a podcast. I wonder if we could get him.
We should do, shouldn't we? We should nab him in the studio. I can just see him just beforehand kind of going, well, what is this? What am I I don't do this.
I know, but he's done his first convention now, didn't he? And he loved that. So.
Where was that?
He went to Swansea last year.
Did he?
Did you not come?
No, no.
God, he went down like a storm.
Did he?
Yeah, he was.
He must have so many brilliant stories to tell. Yeah.
So he loved it.
Listen, we're well over time now.
Well, do you want to do these final two questions in the same email?
Oh, goodness. Sorry, I thought it was over.
They'll be quite quick.
Okay.
Let me say how much I like your quick question segment.
Oh, okay.
In the spirit, I've got a couple for you. One, in Big Finish plays featuring the Daleks, are they old series Daleks, new series Brass and Bolts Daleks, or new Dalek Paradigm model Daleks?
Old series Daleks.
Right. If the answer to the above is old series, then why are all the voices played by Nick? In the original series, the voices were provided by multiple actors. Maybe an ego thing? Just kidding, it says.
Well, I used to do the voices of the old Daleks before the new series came back.
Exactly, you've been doing them for
since
over 10 years
year
or something.
2000, yes, yeah. Yes. And to start with on Big Finish, we did have other people doing it, but I ended up doing them all from Jubilee onwards, I think.
You're very good at it.
Well, exactly. You're too kind, thank you.
All right, it's you're all right at it.
In fact, you're rubbish at it. It's a bizarre skill to have, isn't it? It's my one skill.
You're a bizarre person.
And he finishes off, congratulations on the 8th Doctor Series 4. Each story seems to outdo the last. I'm starting to get an uneasy feeling over the final fate of Lucy Miller. I'm not sure I want to know.
Oh.
That would lead neatly into a clip, wouldn't it?
It would need neatly.
Yes, thank you.
It would need neatly. Let's have a clip from, Lucy Miller or To the Death?
I don't know, I won't listen to either of them.
Perceptor leading show humans descending into construction area.
What did I tell you?
You have done well!
Oh, please. It's a simple matter of breaking through their jamming frequency.
Once again, you have delivered victory to us!
Well, it's high time the rebels realize they're wasting their time and effort resisting the Daleks. After a spell working in the mines, I'm sure they'll understand that.
No! The rebels will all be exterminated!
Well, there you are. That was a tantalizing clip from something that David Richardson apparently will never listen to. I just wanted to say thanks very much for listening. We'll hopefully be back next month. David, do you have any last words before I kill you?
It's been a pleasure, Nick.
Okay.
Oh, and can I say that we should get
no.
people to buy the Thomas Brewster trilogy? Now, oh,
yes, yes. The Thomas Brewster trilogy is, because Thomas Brewster is back in the main range from in The Crimes of Thomas Brewster, The Feast of Axos, and Industrial Evolution, we are offering the first Thomas Brewster trilogy, The Haunting of Thomas Brewster.
Time Reef. The Boy That Time Forgot.
The Boy That Time Forgot. We're offering those at a discounted rate. Do we know what the discounted rate is?
I believe we were going to go with £30.
£30 for the three of them.
I believe that was the theory.
That's quite good because they were £14.99
each.
Yeah, excellent.
We could put in a clip from that as well.
Yeah.
The first thing I remember is my mother's funeral. I would have been about 4 or 5. It's kind of hard to judge when you ain't had no birthdays.
Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill.
Hello!
And so we started work, clambering down the oily steps to the Thames, each of us clutching a lamp, small points of light in the thick, swirling fog.
Oi, Brewster.
Tom!
I said I'm not going...
You give us your towel, boy!
Tom! Save me!
The Haunting of Thomas Brewster.
Hello? Anyone home?
Classic Doctors. Brand new adventures.
Name of Thomas Brewster. You don't understand. It's vitally important we get to him tonight.
Anyway, as David Richardson slowly stuffs himself senseless with more... What do you got there? Hummus or something?
This is Brussels pâté with garlic.
Brussels pâté.
Pâté.
With garlic, yeah. You stay over that side,
and it's
mate.
Very sophisticated on this side of the office, you know.
Anyway, what I'm trying to do is finish this podcast. Will you just let me?
Well, no, because the more we go on, the longer you'll have to spend in post-production. It gets you out of our hair.
Paul, you look like you've got something to add.
No, I'm all done.
Good. Well, it's goodbye from me, Nick Briggs.
It's goodbye from me, Paul Sprague.
It's goodbye from me, Joe Mushroom.
He's only sounding like that because I've punched him in the face.
And it's happy post-production to Nicholas Briggs.
Goodbye, all.
And let's have a clip.
An old friend of mine called Nyssa made this little box of tricks several lifetimes ago. She used it once, and then it ended up in a dusty old corner of the TARDIS, forgotten. Just for a laugh, I'd called it an interocitor.
No, sorry, I never got that joke.
But never mind that. It's a pretty naff joke. The important thing is, if you ever really need me, you can call across the barriers of time and space with it, and I'll hear your call, theoretically. And, well, you know the TARDIS, don't you? With a bit of luck, I shall probably come dashing to your rescue even before you make the call.